to be deceived, how not to be deceived, part two. But that, and not being deceived, it's a personal responsibility. The captives had went back to Babylon, and I tell you the antithesis of that is that we're in the world. Babylon is a type of the world. And as we're in the world, they were in Babylon, and we'll see this week where Jeremiah preaches to the people and God sends a message to the people to keep the faith. Keep the faith. So you have to do what it takes to keep yourself unspotted from this world. One of the things God tells you is not to listen at false prophets and to take heed. But to do this, you have to follow the Bible. You have to study to show yourself approved. And I tell you, it actually was going to take, in the end time, the portion that was going to be destroyed, more or less, was going to be the people that weren't going to heaven, that weren't going to be a part of the church, or the weaker vessels in the church. What's going to really make it glorify God, he's going to purge the church. It's going to be all the people in church that are not hungering and thirsting after God's righteousness. Those that are not fighting for God. Those that are not fighting for the Word of God or learning the Word of God. And just like right now, there's a war going on. And if you're not in the midst of the battle, if you're not needing more ammo, it kind of denotes that you're not fighting the fight. When they were carried away to Babylon, and then those that he forced into Babylon, a lot of them got so wealthy in Babylon that they didn't return from Babylon when it was time for them to return. They had got absorbed, just like a lot of people today have been absorbed by the world's standard, by the world's, the love of the world and the things of the world. So it's going to be such a small remnant that be saved. And also, yeah, you have to kind of divorce yourself of feelings. That's why it says you have to die daily and crucify the flesh, because you will see a lot of good people dying, you know, Christian people or people that's not of the world. And that's they lack some of them that pass or whatever, but they're not vessels of the real good figs. They're the kind that just kind of like bench setters or whatever. So he says one of the things you have to do is not strive to be a servant of God, not striving with the world. When they went into Babylon, he told them to pray for the peace of the nation that you were going into. We see a lot of Christians today get involved in governmental battles and things that's going on in the world. There's a way to get involved. And he said we have to be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. But we see some so-called Christians, their attitudes and dispositions disqualify them. They disqualify themselves and not being true Christians or true people of God because they hadn't learned to be temperate. That's a fruit of the Spirit, patience and temperance. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, and with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. A lot of people, a lot of times, call me and ask me, what would this scripture say? What's going on with this scripture? A guy called me last week, and, you know, I always have, and you always going to have people arguing over the scriptures and everything. But if you have to go to that point and everything, it's not that important. Either you know or you don't know. Most people that's prying and trying to find out through those things are like the people that Paul met. They just sit around trying to acquire no new things, but they're not using even the old things they have. They just want to know something new. They want to know what this means in Revelation. Hey, what's the mark of the beast? You are. You are, buddy. Because if you need to know all that, so all kinds of foolish and crazy questions. Who Cain married? What happens to this? Well, what about Ham's son? Was the curse on him? Foolish and unlearned questions, he said, avoid. That's why sometimes they came to ask Jesus questions. He said, well, I tell you what, you answer me this. The baptism, was it from John or was it from heaven? and they didn't answer him. So if you ain't going to answer me that, I wasn't going to answer you. See, because don't answer a fool in his folly. Solomon say, answer a fool not according to his folly unless you find yourself getting stripes. He says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, amp to teach and patient. See, that amp to teach, in other words, if someone's of a teachable spirit, there's nothing wrong with teaching it. You need to be ready to teach someone. But somebody wants to just to argue or be contentious about something, or try to tell you what somebody else, what this preacher said, this, that preacher said that. Why did you ask me if you already asked him and he told you that? Well, go back and find out from him or follow what he said. I'm not here to explain that to you. If you want to be a follower, when they came to Jesus, Jesus said, well, look, if you want to be his disciple, take up your cross and follow after him. You can't go around to every Tom, Dick, and Harry and try to learn what they teach and then go to this church and learn what he teach and then sit in front of the television and learn what all they teach and trying to make a gospel gumbo. That's why James says, be not many masters. In other words, be not many teachers. Get into your a sound doctrine teaching church and learn the doctrine there. And you'll grow and you'll be strong and God will give you more truth. He'll give you greater light. But just to know something, that's not going to help you because that doesn't make you spiritually strong. Knowledge doesn't do anything but puff it up. That's all knowledge does. He says, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. And like I say, anybody that does this, he in direct opposition of himself because he's ever learning, never coming to the learning of the knowledge of the truth. But if these people are willing to confess that they don't know these things and that they're the problem, then that they need instruction and has become as a little child, that they need help, then they can go into a church or somewhere and be taught. And a disciple is a follower, one that listens to his instructor. So you have to be instructed by the Word of God and men of God. But most preachers that are of God know when you just kind of horsing around or wasting their time. And most people of God nowadays are not wasting their time because that's a device of Satan to waste your time. He says redeeming the time because the days are evil. So if you just got some foolishness or something, I don't have a... You remember I told you that guy came by the other week. We used to be kind of friends, but I'm just kind of tired of you now because all it does is foolishness that what you're asking or whatever. And what are you talking about? Why did you come by here? We don't have anything in common anymore. Go back to the Word of Life or down to Leroy, wherever you go at, and ask him, ask some of them. Because, you know, it's a problem now where doctrines don't match. And we have nothing else in common. He's talking about things of the world and talking about he could buy a house to flip the house and thing. Well, you don't have a car harder to drive and you could buy a house to flip it and you're not working now. Don't come around me with crazy stuff. It says, peradventure God will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. They need to realize that they outside of God and that they need to turn, need to repent, and that God may grant them a space of repentance, and it says, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So these people have been taken by Satan. They have itching ears. They give in to seducing doctrines. But if they're willing to be taught, but don't come around trying to share doctrine with me. I'm not into that with you or whatever, and I don't need your instructions. And don't come telling me, well, God told this guy to come preach to us and teach to us. Well, no, you just go it on with that. Now, I'm not going to say God bless you or good luck to you or whatever, because I don't want you to damn nobody else with that doctrine. It says, greet them not into your home. And it says, another gospel. Paul speaks of another gospel here, the book of Galatians 1 and 6. He says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that call you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Here they were teaching another Jesus. He says, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any preach any other gospel unto you other than that you receive, let him be accursed. And that opens the door of deception from being nice, pietistic. In other words, not being, they say Paul's speech was rude and contemptible. Sometimes you have to cut people off. Sometimes you have to be bold. Sometimes you have to be blunt. As Peter was, he says, it's better to obey God than to obey man. He was commissioned to preach the gospel by Jesus Christ, and that's what he did. No other gospel, and he wasn't for hearing any other gospel. But once you allow that space to be in where we all here to learn from one another, no, I beg you the difference, because there are false prophets out there. And I'm not going to hear no other gospel. I'm not going to hear anything else. And as they say about treasure agents or whatever, if you train yourself with the real, you can detect false currency. But you can't go around trying to expose what all false currency or what all kinds of counterfeit money out there, because it's so many different kinds. What you have to do is know the real so good, that you know scripture so well, that you can tell when somebody is introducing something in that's not scripture. As Jesus knew, he knew when Satan had twisted the gospel, when he had perverted the words of God. He was tempting Jesus to do something that Satan didn't understand the context in which he was pulling that out of. He says, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. See, he was trying to make him prove himself to be the Son of God. And there's no proof. And like I said, God doesn't even prove himself. You have to follow God by faith, have faith in him. So you have to be confrontational. You have to be confrontational. As in the book of Acts, Paul and Barnabas and Mark, they were going off to this island. It's in Acts, the 13th chapter, 5th verse, where it says, and when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their ministry. It was John Mark. And when they had gone through the isle of unto Patmos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so his name was by interpretation, withstood them, just like Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. The false prophets nowadays will go withstand you. They you have to know. That's why I said, you can't just depend on an hour or two of Bible reading a week. You can't just depend on one service. You have to, God said he'll hear you when you wholeheartedly devote your whole heart to him, when you devote yourself to it. In other words, it's going to take time, especially in this day and age, that most people are not willing to give the word of God, that they're not willing to give God. They want to be known by God, but they don't want to take the time to seek after God. So you have to be able to detect these people and these things. He said, withstood them, seeking to turn away from the deputy from the faith. And a lot of times in your family, and that's why it says the enemies will be of your own household. If someone in your family or someone you know, a lot of times if you start going to church or start in a religion, that person may get out of the church they're in or may start talking against the church you go to. They're going to withstand your faith. They're going to withstand you and try to drag you down. That's why when you sanctify, set yourself apart, most of the time you have to come apart from the people, the crowd, the associations, the people that you're around during the daytime. Because by them lagging, they're going to cause you to lag. And you don't have to read the Bible all the time. You don't have to always talk about God. You don't have to do all these things. You don't have time for yourself. Yep, and that's the problem, yourself. They will try to withstand against the faith. And you have to know these people. You have to be confrontational. Like I say, this guy was pretty popular. I had to tell him, look, it was time for him to go, because we're not going to accomplish that here. You're not going to learn. Now, I've been talking to you for years on this, and it's not going to progress in anywhere. You just for a lot of foolishness and tying up my hands. I walked him on outside. It was time for to go bye-bye. You know, friends sometime are for a season. They're for a season or whatever. But if God had called you for a certain thing, you have to accomplish what God has for you to accomplish. There are a lot of people in the world going on off and doing all kinds of things. You have classmates or friends and things. You see them years later, and they got different things, and you become envious of them. And that person hadn't did you anything. They were your friends or whatever, but they wouldn't allow you to pigeonhole them with a lot of negativism. They wasn't going to allow you to talk against their religion or talk against what they were accomplishing or doing. And they have things and all this, and you envious of them and talk against them now. That's why you don't catch a lot of Word of Faith people or Jehovah's Witness people or a lot of other people congregating with other people of different faiths or whatever. They're too busy in their religion or what they believe in, whether it be Islam or whatever, trying to progress in what they believe in, and God blesses them according to that. But the most people that are not doing anything in their religion, they're going to try to tie up people in other religions and things also, because they are bent not to go anywhere. Not that they're not God's people, but they're God's people that won't have any rewards. Those are the ones that will lose all their rewards. And to them, it's not going to make a difference, because they don't want nothing out of life. But just think how you will feel when you don't have rewards. You allowed somebody else to hinder you from your rewards. That's why a lot of times relationships break up. The husband wants this or the wife wants this, and the other one don't want anything out of life. You will have a problem whenever you have a unity of two people with different ideas or different thoughts on how to proceed in life. That's what the problem is in most churches. And they said, Paul said, then Saul, who also was called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set its eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee. Thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking someone to lead him by the hands. So it wasn't Paul that cursed him. Paul said it was the Spirit of the Lord that said that. It was by the Spirit of the Lord that this had brought on, because you're hindering God's work. That's the same thing with Ananias and Sapphira. When they had the deception of paying the right amount in tithes or whatever, and Peter said, well, look, it wasn't me you lied to. It was the Holy Ghost you lied to. See, when that's just God's representative, as it was when Samuel was speaking for God. And God said, Samuel, don't feel bad. They hadn't rejected you. It's me they're rejecting. That's why if you're doing what God has sent you to do and your faith is in God and you're doing what Christ had commissioned to you, go into all the world and preach and teach the gospel. He says, not you that they hate, it's me that they hate, that you is in my image and likeness, and it's me that they really hate. They hate what you stand for. It's Jesus Christ in you. But if you was to do things of the world love his own. That's why it's a lot of churches filled today, because they are not conforming to the Word of God. They have itching ears and they give heed to seducing doctrines doctrines of devils that allow them to do any kind of thing, that do anything against the word of God. These are the other gospels, Paul said, that he was marveling at the Galatians. He said, you foolish Galatians, who had bewitched you? You've been listening to someone else. And if you were God's sheep, you wouldn't have listened to him in the first place. That's why I say it's a problem when we start mixing up and mixing these different doctrines. As Jesus told his disciples to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, he was telling them to beware of those who mix the truth with a lie. They mix the truth with a lie. This is the same thing Jesus said, and he said about tearing down the temple. He says, tear down this temple, and I will build it in 3 days. They didn't know the scriptures. They misunderstood what he was saying. He was talking about the temple of his body. You see, but not knowing the scriptures. That's why he says, not knowing the scriptures, people do error, and that error is against the scriptures, against the word of God. So you have to read the law, read what something is. That's why Jesus said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, because if you go to a church and they practice 400 of the scriptures, but they only have two in there that they're strictly against. That's just like the Catholic churches. They've divided one of the commandments up into two of the commandments, and I think it's the fourth commandment that they took out, or one about coveting images or something, and they divided the commandments up. But you see, you only need 1%, one portion strychnine for the whole solution to be poison. If you have a cooler here, and I put a touch of strychnine in it, or arsenic in it, well, what happened? The whole portion is contaminated. Holiness is about purity. You can't mix doctrine. That's why it says, well, if you go back on and try to keep the law, and you mess up in one portion of it, you done broke the whole law. But see, we're not under the law. We're under the liberty of Jesus Christ, those that are in Christ. But the law still is in effect to those that are not in Christ. And the law is what's going to punish you. So it's the wording and it's the teaching. That's why he said that for the teaching of the edifying of the church, for no man is an island. You don't learn these things on your own. And it's confirmed in the mouth of two or three witnesses. So Amos 6 and 7 says, therefore now shall they go captive with the first that go captive in the banquet of them that shall stretch themselves shall be removed. The Jews tried this with Jesus, and that was in Mark 14 and 58 and John 2 and 19. Okay, also physical harm. If you notice, all the apostles suffered physical harm. Jesus Christ was saying, well, don't fear what man could do. Don't fear what man can do. But see, if you're in the flesh, oh man, he can't hurt me. Oh, that's going to hurt me. Well, what happened to Jesus on the cross? That's why I say the Passion of Christ, that movie did something to people. Those that were wanting to Christianity by that, they're carnal Christians. Because you wouldn't have Stephen, or you wouldn't have the Mars, or you wouldn't have Isaiah, who was sawn in half. Physical harm, this ain't the real world, so physical harm is not harm. What you have to do is worry about him that destroyed the whole body, soul, and mind in hell. That's the one. So he hadn't given the true church a spirit of fear. He had given us a sound mind. But if you worried about somebody hurting you, somebody physically hurting you, you're still in the flesh. Now, if you're a shallow Christian, you're not going to understand. They go, oh man, that's hurt me, and this and that, that. Well, 9 times out of 10, he's not going to put that on that kind of person to bear that anyhow, because he knows that's a burden you couldn't bear. You know, it's got people that are whiners. But the one that he's going to suffer to be tortured, the one he's going to get sawed in half, or the one like Peter that got crucified upside down, these are hardened people in the faith, and you had some women that are hardened in the faith. They're not afraid. They say, well, I'll see you on the other side. They're not afraid of death. That's why he came and took the sting out of death. He took victory away from the grave. He passed through that, so now we don't fear that. But there's a lot of people scared to die. But none of the moths, none of the true Christians are afraid to die. Because you know you're going to be with Christ. If you try to save your life, he say you lose your life. But see, that's hard to understand. People understand, you know, they hear the words and they have knowledge of the words. But see, you have to have something to make that real. You have to have something to make that alive, to where that's a practice and faith of yours. And that's what a false prophet ends at. You know, it's easy to talk to talk, but walking the walk is much different than talking to talk. Amos was tested in personal security. A threat implied that if he did not leave Israel, he would get hurt. Amasa says, never again prophesies at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary, and it is his royal residence. That's in verse 13. This test evaluated Amos' ability to confront authority. In referring to the king's sanctuary and the royal residence, Amasa warns him, this is the national cathedral. What you say shouldn't be uttered in a hallowed and sacred place like this. It is dedicated to the welfare of Israel, and saying such things, you are challenging the king's authority. So there are places now you could go in and talk about that preacher, or you can say certain things within the state, or say certain things about people's church or something. They don't want to kill you. But see, you're among people that are not true Christians, and they kill in the name of their God. And that God, a lot of them say, is Jesus Christ. But nowhere in the Bible can you find true Christians, you know, in the New Testament, killing in the name of Jesus Christ. You can't use the Old Testament as an example of that, because they didn't have the Spirit of God, or God was using that as an example for something else. Just like when Samuel slew Amalek. When he slew the king, he had told Saul to destroy. That was a lesson in obedience, not sacrifice. You remember Saul said he had saved those for sacrifice. Well, that was a lesson in being obedient unto God. But that's why he told Peter to pull up his sword, though. And the sword that he told him to take was the word of God. That's the word, because we fight not against flesh and blood. This is not a physical battle. 1 Peter 3:12 says, for the eyes of the Lord are all over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? Who is it that can harm you? Nobody. See, because you have to look at that your soul belongs to Christ. What you do to this body doesn't count anymore. And that's why you never see in the New Testament them focus on any of the apostles or any of the disciples worried about the pain or what they were suffering. It was like Stephen when they stoned him to death, and he said, forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they're doing. It shows them more or less yielding or acquiescing to the authority in that fashion. See, because the harm is only in the physical, and we know the physical is not real. But like I say, that's why people that say that they could get in like the thief on the cross and everything, you don't want those kind of people in the church, because they hadn't had time to grow. And the young people of the carnal, as Paul say, you're yet babes in Christ. They could have been in the church 30, 40, or 50 years, but their faith hadn't grown. Though it's going to be people that come in, it says the last could be first, and first could be, it's going to be people come in that exercise their faith. It's going to be people of different Word of Faith churches, of Jehovah's Witness, or whatever church God bring them from. Because as he issues the call, come out of her, my people. These people will come out of the false religions and come into the true church of God and go to the work God had called them for. And it's going to create a lot of jealousy to the people that's already in the churches of God. It's going to create jealousy and envy. But apparently didn't want those jobs anyhow. Those jobs was open to other people anyhow, because you've been here, you hadn't did any of these. Now you've been provoked to jealousy because you see somebody in here that hadn't been in as long as you in a position higher than yours or doing something else. You figure you should be tapped. But no, you wasn't by exercise of using the word of God or doing what God had said doing. Take some of these Catholic people, the Word of Faith people, that's been in these churches for years doing according to what God says. God opened up to their minds and they're no longer deceived by that form of doctrine. They come out of that church. God's going to reward them for their faithfulness. And they were there for a time serving His purpose, but now they're coming out of that doctrine into the true doctrine. He's going to bless them according to their faith. And one thing I can say about Word of Faith and Catholic people, most of them tithe and give and do things religiously. It's like people of Islam. That's one, that's one of the growing religions of the world. But Islam is much more different from a whole lot of religions, because I think it's yearly that they pay on all of the assets that they have. You see, because the tithe, even in biblical time, was actually 33 1/3. You see, that's why Islam and a lot of these other religions, that's why the Catholic religion is the way it is and are able to help so many people. I mean, you don't even have to be in their churches, and a lot of them, they're paying phone bills, light bills, doing all the medical work and everything. Well, these works that they are doing are good works, but those works don't save them. So it'll be a lot of people that did those works and contributed those works, and God will call them out of those churches to reward them for those works. But it'll be some that were in that doing those works and never knew the Lord. And they'll be saying, well, didn't we do this in your name and do that? Well, you have two people doing the same job. One could be taken, one could be left, because your heart wasn't right. Yeah, you was in the church and you did this. You faithfully gave. You did all this, but you never were converted. You never had a hunger or thirst for the Word of God. You never did really love God. You loved it people. You loved it being seen. You loved being with the in crowd. You wasn't working for Christ. You wasn't had an intimate knowledge and fellowship with God. You wasn't walking with God. You were walking with a crowd. So you have to be able to see that. You have to be able to detect that, or you'll become one. And that's what happened in Babylon. A lot of them, God had sent a message, don't give up the faith, don't lose the faith. A lot of people in the world today, they see the way the church is going and they just leave the true faith. Judah said, I wrote to y'all to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. But you see things become so popular and all the churches doing it, all the people doing it, you assume it's right. But that's the broad way. That's the broad way. Peter says, but if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of that terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So like I said, some of them, your marriage might break up. Okay. But you still have to obey God. Whether it be male or female, you have to do right with God. But if you let your wife pull you off the trail of following and doing what you say, what you know God doing, and you let your husband do that, then that becomes your idol. That's a weakness. That's why I say divorces do occur. Separations do occur. Things happen. But that's direct confrontation. If that person no acquiesce, you have to stand your ground somewhere. You have to stand. That's why there is forgiveness in Christ Jesus. He says all manner of sin shall be forgiven men except blaspheming against the Holy Ghost. What's blaspheming against the Holy Ghost? To fight against the truth, that which you know is right. If you know it's right to do certain things and you allow your children to make you do something else, you allow your people or someone to have you forsaken the assembling together of yourself, and you doing it just to please them, you fearing those that can bring trouble to you, you fearing those that could shame you, hurt you, or be mad at you, upset with you. They just have to be mad and upset. You have to do what's right according to God. He says, but sanctify the Lord. Set the Lord apart in your life, in your heart. That who has to be consecrated. having a good conscience, that whereby they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for doing evil. That you suffer for doing the right thing, but then later on, that person discards you anyhow. Now the suffering you're going to is for doing evil, because you're in the fix you're in because you disobeyed God. God didn't allow peace in your home. God didn't allow peace on your job. One of y'all lost your job. One of y'all lost your life. One of y'all, something happened. Anything goes on, God causes a scattering. That came about because you wasn't walking in the will of God. You were doing evil. You were being disobedient in evil. But if something happens, if Ahab was to lose Jezebel because he was obedient to God, then he said, well, no, I'm not going to do neighbor that. You're not going to take his vineyard. I'm going to handle this. Jezebel would have packed up and left and said, well, you're not my husband, if you don't want to do what I ask you to do, or let me do this and do that, fine, go your way. Paul said, if the unbeliever leave, let the unbeliever leave. But you have to do what is right by God. Then years later, oh man, I should have did this. Yeah, you should have. But now you got to suffer the consequences of what you didn't do. He says, by which he says, for Christ also had suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened in the spirit. That's why I say the spirit is what makes us alive, and that by doing the will of God. See, the word of God doesn't make you alive by itself. It's the spirit that gives it life. So you could know the word of God, but if you're not a doer of the word of God, if your heart's not right, it doesn't profit you anything. Paul said, do I give my body to be burned? If I have not charity, it profit me nothing. Without charity is the basis of it, the love of God in y'all. What I tell you in darkness is that ye speak in light, and what you hear in the ear that you preach on the housetop. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Don't fear them. I'm not saying it's not going to hurt, but you have to look at harm and hurt in a different way. The reason Jesus says, fear them not, because you have to look at God as being sovereign. And even though Job was touched with all kinds of affliction and sickness and harm, God said, you can't touch his life now. Don't take his life. But Job, in all this, he still didn't curse God. God is sovereign, and he allows to come upon you whatever is coming for a person. You have to have faith in that. The Hebrew boys, they threw him in the fiery furnace, but they said they still was to serve God. He wasn't going to bow down to that. Okay. He says, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Now, he didn't say the little fellas wasn't going to fall. You didn't see many of dead sparrows out there. Now, he didn't say it, but he knows it didn't happen to him. He's aware that he's the ultimate cause of those things. He's at the ultimate portion of that. But see, God knows that. When he rose up, he said, I have all power with the keys of heaven and hell and death in his hands. He had the keys to life and death. See, your days are appointed by God. But see, you have to be right at that time. So you can't go around in fear of death. It's a terrible thing to live in fear. It's a terrible thing to work thinking you could be fired. It's a terrible thing to have that kind of stress over your head. That if I say this, you know, that my wife might leave me or my husband might leave me. I'll be looking at little children and everything. I said, well, they shouldn't be in that home, because the way that parent talks to them, acts to them, the child biting their nails and nerves and everything, they live in fear. You know, you beating that child or doing something to that child, you can see how docile and how they act. That child is living in fear. A child shouldn't have to live in that. Which horrible to live in fear. And people that have a work salvation, a lot of times, when you see a lot of people trying to do a lot of works, they're trying to be justified by works. And you can't be justified by works. It's by grace are you saved. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are more valuable than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But so whoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father. Now denial means you don't have to just up and say, well, there's no Christ, I don't believe in Christ. You can deny him in your actions. You could deny him by being disobedient to him, by doing what he said not to do. That's why I use the word hear when your parents say, well, you didn't hear me. In other words, you're not doing what I told you to do, because if you'd have heard me, you'd have been doing what I told you to do. So a denial of Christ is not doing what he say do before the world. Think not that I'm come to send peace upon the earth. And that's what the problem with us. We think he came to send peace, but he says, I came not to send peace, but a sword. So there's going to be division and confrontation. You're going to need to keep being filled with the Spirit. That's why it says continue to be filled with the Spirit. And that's why you're going to have to continually arm yourself, because this warfare consistently goes on. It's a constant warfare, and Satan is going about to devour whom he may, whoever he can. For I'm come to set a man at variance against his father, the daughter against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's foes shall be they of his own household. Read that carefully now. A lot of us read that, and we fall in by our own house. It's our own people that's bringing us down. It's the people right there around. And you can never be a witness for Christ if you don't overcome those obstacles. Charity begins at home. It says, first learn to rule at home before you can rule at the house of God. Before you can go out in the world and command and whip up on Satan, you have to be in control home first. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, but he that loseth his life for my sake, that's the only, now that's a conditional phrase. They says, if you lose your life for my sake. It didn't say if you lose your life for being a hypocrite or going meddling the way you shouldn't be meddling, acting or thinking you're a Christian. This is not spirit-led. If you didn't got in trouble and Christ didn't authorize it, like Joshua and them, they went and made a deal with the Jebusites, and they hadn't talked with God, and they had got one put over on them because they didn't consult God. You need to consult God about everything in your life. So you need to be a friend of God to not be deceived, because he always show his friend what he's doing. There's a difference between the desire to believe and actually believing so that it becomes a part of one's life. There's a difference there. Let me repeat that. There's a difference between the desire to believe and actually believing so that it become part of one's life. The Jews have a zeal for God, right? But not according to knowledge. Paul implies it is not according to the truth. That's not going to help them to have a zeal for God if it's not according to the truth. Human beings operate from a mind that has a natural bent away from God. That's the kernel. That's the state that we're in. That's the bondage that we're in. It's bent away from God. It is something that is inherent within us. That's within everybody. That's the nature we inherited from Adam. That's why Jesus wasn't born of man, because that's a nature that's in all mankind. And he was born the seed of the woman's. You know, man wasn't his father, God was his father. He says, we have been pre-programmed away from God. By the time God begins to work his miracle in us, we've been programmed another way. We've been programmed according to the dictates of this world, and we have walked after the world and this thing in the world. We consistently want to go our own way in disbelief. That's a consistent thing. That's why Paul said, that I do, I would not do that I want to do. It's a consistent struggle until you realize the problem is within you. The problem is self, and that you have a self problem. You need to become a new creation, a new creature. Most people like to fall back and say, that's just me, that's how I am, that's how I've been. Probably to go how you go die when you leave away from here. If you don't change, if you're not born again. You must need to be born again. Nicodemus didn't realize that. He said, you're a ruler of the Jews and you didn't know that? You must need to be born again. Now he's thinking physical. What, should I go back in the womb and be born again? No, you have to be birthed into the family of God, and that calls for circumcision. He says, one can imagine where this leads. We have to recognize that there exists within us a sincere desire to do what is right. Yet what we make must make a conscious effort to choose the right, though. There is a desire to do right. Paul said, that what I do, I would do what I do not. But see, God has to place His Spirit in you to be that standard that enables us to be spiritually led. Those that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. That's why Jesus said, now we can cry, Abba, Father. We can pray, Our Father. If we've been adopted into the body of Christ, that's why He had to die. He couldn't remain a man on earth because He wasn't dwelling within man if He was an external leader. That's why He said He must go away. But if He go away, then the Spirit come. It's going to teach you and lead you and guide you into all truth. That Spirit's going to be in you and dwell within you. And that's what He had to do, to disperse that Spirit within us. That is what builds character. God works us into a position where we are free to make a choice in a way that others who do not have the truth revealed to them are not free to do. Those that are under the law, those that were like Judah in the Old Testament, those who hadn't been given a heart to believe. He has to give you that heart to believe. He puts you in that position to be able to make right choices. But see, by studying the Word of God, this has to be your standard. This is the instruction manual. But this alone, let me not say scripture alone is not sufficient, but that's why it says, how can they hear without a preacher? How can they preach without being sent? And we studied in Ephesians that He had set and gave gifts unto man, prophets, apostles, pastors, and teachers. See, that's why it says, forsake not the assembling together of yourselves. For you have to be taught the principle. Because the principle is greater than the rule. There's a principle behind the Ten Commandments. God is that principle. It's a principle of truth. That's why when they say, well, you're breaking the Sabbath by doing that, he said, well, the Sabbath was made for man. That's man for the Sabbath. But that was a cardinal rule that lies there. You had to put the rule there because of transgressions, because it's not inherently in man to do right. It's not inherent in man to do right. We was watching a show last night and I was telling Mama, well, that ain't gonna work. That's where the producers went off script at when they was writing about that, because man can't just change and become right. You have to have an outside experience. God has to change you. He has to give you a change of heart to make you a new creation, new creature. You can't just say through some physical surgery or something happened, I got a new brain. You can have brain surgery. You can put Einstein's brain in you if you want, but you still have to be born again. Yeah. You could have heart surgery. You can have a pacemaker put in. You can get pig bells if you want them. But you still need spiritual heart surgery, something only God can do. That's why I say it's a gift of God. So without being in the corporate church, it would be hard to be saved. God, He had authorized the body of the church. He don't want to be a rebel. That's what I say. He said, it be few saved, Lord. So, as we close this down, he says, he has removed the scales from our eyes, but it is not a one-time thing or done all at once. Rather, it is something that progresses, each one of us at a different rate. So I say everybody doesn't go along at the same rate. Some may not be hardwired to go further. They are different. The members are different in Christ Jesus. We're not all the same. We're not going to all progress the same. We're not going to have all the same rewards in life. So some will be doing different jobs. We will have different positions in the body of Christ. But some people would be content. And that's why I say learn to be content where you are, because some people you have to learn. That's why I say you have to learn to leave some things where they are. Oh, but that's my brother, man. I got to make sure he get up high and got... But see, now you done took him from working on that garbage truck. He was doing roofing work. And you done put him in this corporate office somewhere. He had to mess up a whole lot of people up there because that ain't where he belonged. God hadn't designed him for that. Where he was comfortable at. And he was comfortable doing that, get off, go home and drink him a few beers, or hit him a couple, hit a look. And Solomon said, nothing better for a man to enjoy the fruit of his labor, to eat, drink, and be merry. But then he made you a pastor, and he said, well, now the pastor can't touch this. Pastor shouldn't drink at all. But then they said, oh, but the deacon could be given to this. So there were different qualifications for different jobs. We're not all at the same. And we don't all progress at the same rate. All my children aren't the same. But there's not one. And I hear church people talking about, oh, but Jacob did this for Joseph and everything. You see, you operate from a different mindset. You still carnal-minded. Even though you're in church and everything, even though these preachers and everything, it's some carnal-minded preachers. He just didn't understand God. He loves us with the same love he loved Jesus. In other words, you ever heard the church say, well, that's the favorite son now, that's the favorite daughter. I have no favorites. You know, all my children are the same. There's not one I love more than the other. Now, I might handle them different. I might be harder on this one than I am on that one. A lot of people say, well, that's what they were saying, that he left like Jacob more than he, differently than he did Esau. See, because sometimes some traits of characteristics, it's a reason God does things, it's a reason we're put, so God handles us differently. Why did he call James to be beheaded and Peter was let loose? But he told Peter, look, if I desire for this man to live, to remain till I come back, what's that to you? But he told Peter he was going to die. We always, let's see what else, at the rate we are capable of using it. However, he always puts us in a position where we have to make a conscious choice. Otherwise, we are not living by faith and character will not be built. We can see that God leads us to a point where the mind is open or receptive to the truth. But we have to use the truth to ensure that we move in the right direction he wants us to go in. That's why I say, well, let me not print all this and load everybody down with paper and everything, because some people are not given the paperwork. Some people are not given to do certain things. But you have to feed that person according to what he desires. Some people are hardwired differently. But we have to have God as that standard to bring us up. And a major thing, we don't interfere. Like I say, we're not in the world to judge the world. But we're looking at this thing about same-sex marriage and all that. Okay, I'm not in the middle of that. But we're not fit to do that in here. Not in the church. We can't promote this because that don't work. How you got two mamas or two daddies? That's a problem here. But God is our standard, whereas the world has different standards. So we see the end of this from the beginning to the end, and this is a deception on Satan's behalf. But the world, we can't interfere with the world because they wasn't allowed to interfere with Babylon. Daniel went into government. The Hebrew boys went into government. But you can't, if you're a pilgrim there, a sojourner, an ambassador here, they don't have a say-so in the government. If you from Russia or something else, and you're an ambassador in this country, you don't have a right to say what how this government runs or to vote. Well, at least we can vote on the government here. God allows us to do those things. But so far as kick against it or rebel against authority and everything, that's out of the church's jurisdiction there. So we have to learn, according to the word of God, how not to be deceived. Now, there are a lot of people being deceived, and they're into politics and governmental things in ways that they shouldn't be, and that's the church becoming a world-beast system. So with that, we're going to end this. We may have a part three, because Jeremiah goes into this even deeper.